We'll be turning in your Bibles over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll pick up there in James 1 in just a moment. A preacher and a soap manufacturer were walking down the street one day. And as they walked, they noticed how wrongly people were treating one another. Streets were filled with corruption. They were seeing all this corruption around them. And so the soap manufacturer looked at the preacher and he said, "Preacher, that Bible you preach must not be any good. It's not helping anyone. Look at all the filth and corruption." Well, the preacher didn't say anything. He just kept right on walking. And after a while, they came upon some children that were filthy and dirty. It looked as though they hadn't taken a bath in weeks. The preacher looked at the soap manufacturer and he said, "That soap you make must not be any good. Look how filthy and dirty these children are." The soap manufacturer replied, "You know, soap doesn't work unless you use it and apply it." "That's right," said the preacher. "It's the same way with the Bible. The Bible won't work unless people use it and apply it to their lives." You know, the book of James, as far as the practical applications that can come from it, is probably one of the most practical books in the Bible, as far as the practical application goes. We learned in the first few verses of James chapter 1 about dealing with persecution. "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," that is, diverse trials. Give me his patience. We learn there about sin and going on in James chapter 1 that every man is tempted of his own lust. Friends, if we look down at verses 21 through 25, friends, we see here how we are to benefit from the Bible. James gives us a practical lesson here in how we are to benefit from God's Word. We learn there concerning these things. Look with me at verse 21. "Wherefore," James says, "lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or overflow of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Talking there about the overflow of wickedness. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Friends, one thing that we must do, if we want to get the full benefit from God's Word, the full benefit from the Bible, is that one, we must be willing to receive His Word. Again, notice what James says here. Lay all that aside. Lay apart that filthiness and that overflow of wickedness or naughtiness and receive with meekness. That word "receive" there, my friends, indicates, and it is actually a term of hospitality. And it literally means to openly welcome. To welcome with open arms. As Luke recorded in Acts 2 and verse 41. To gladly receive. How do we regard the Bible? Do we receive it openly? Or when God has something to say that may step on our toes, that may prick my heart, friends, do we become defensive? Or do we read God's Word and we study God's Word with open hearts, trying to apply it to our lives? Friends, if we want to receive the full benefit from the Bible, friends, we're going to have to receive His Word. If we're going to benefit from the Word of God, we must welcome that Word into our lives. Friends, God's Word will never, ever benefit us until it gains access into our lives. Won't do us a bit of good. We need to give God and His Word access to our lives. Notice with me now, verses 22-24. James is going to tell us how to do this. How are we going to receive the Word? "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Friends, what do we see here? Friends, we learn from this passage, this particular part of the passage, that if we're going to benefit from the Bible, if we're going to benefit from God's Word, we must be willing to reflect upon the Word. We must be willing to receive His Word. We must be willing to, once we've received that, we must be willing to reflect upon that Word. Friends, notice what he says. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, examination, friends, is the main purpose for owning a mirror, is it not? Why have one in the house if you're not going to use it? It's the purpose for you go and look in the mirror to see how your hair is. Ladies, if you need to fix your makeup, that's why you have a mirror. Otherwise, your hair would be all over the place, lipstick all over your face. It doesn't make sense. You've got it for a reason, to examine yourself. We see those things that need to be corrected. We look into that mirror. We see the outward appearance in order to identify areas in need of improvement to make ourselves look as clean and neat as possible. Friends, God's Word, the Bible, His holy inspired Word, is a mirror. We are able to use it to gaze inwardly to see ourselves as we really are and as we ought to be. It is our standard for living. We ought to use it as such, as that mirror. If we are to use God's mirror profitably, friends, then we must gaze into it carefully and with serious intent. Notice verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Friends, what we learn here and what James is telling us in looking into the perfect law of liberty is that a quick glance is not going to cut it. You can't just be walking by the mirror, take one little glance and keep on going. That's not going to work in our lives. Not when it comes to God's Word. A quick glance will not do. Friends, we must examine our own hearts. We must examine our own lives in the light of God's Word. And that's going to require time, that's going to require attention, and that's going to require some sincere devotion if we're going to benefit from God's Word. Then number three, to benefit from the Bible, to benefit from God's Word, one must be willing to respond to the Word. Notice again verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Friends, James tells us that it is not enough to read or to hear the Word. It's not enough. They're good things. It's a great thing to sit down and read the Bible. It's a good thing to sit down and hear a lesson presented from the Word of God. But friends, it's not enough. James tells us we must be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. If all we are hearers of God's Word, what does James say? Friends, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we're right with God. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we're saved. Friends, we must do the Word. We must actively make it a part of our lives. People ought to be able to see it in us. We can look at the Bible in this way, as our instruction manual to heaven. God has given us specific instructions in which we are to follow if we want to have a home in heaven with Him. Now, friends, when we take something and we're to put it together, and I know men like to do it on their own, We want to set the instructions aside. We don't want to worry about those. We just want to get this thing put together, get it set up, not worry about it. And then when we have a few boats left over, well, it's just extra. Friends, God's instruction manual is here for a purpose. It's not going to do us one bit of good to have an instruction manual and not read it. The same way, it's not going to do us a bit of good to read those instructions and then not use them. We've got to put them into action. We must follow it step by step. Well, friends, that's the only way that we're going to be saved. Now, the blessing, friends, the benefit from God's Word comes in the doing, not in the reading of the Word. We read that in James 1 and verse 25. Once more, it says, "Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty." What is that law? Friends, it's His Word. It's His gospel. "Whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." You know, last week we said something in our morning sermon concerning marriage and divorce that the King James translators did us a great service in using this type of language, continueth. That E-T-H there on the end of that word in our English language is significant. It's not a one-time action. It is something that is ongoing. He that continueth, continues, always there in that word, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Friends, the blessing comes in the doing, not the hearing. We see that in Acts chapter 2, do we not? Peter had preached that first gospel sermon. They were pricked to the heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter gave them the recipe for salvation. He gave them their instructions. And it says there, as we already noticed, they that gladly received his word. Acts 2 and verse 41. They were baptized into Christ and added unto His church. Not, notice, a denomination, but His church, singular. They gladly received His word. We see a response, friends. You see that? Acts 2 and verse 38, as I said, Peter gives them that recipe, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We go down to verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. We see the response. They received it with open arms. They welcomed it openly. And friends, they responded to it. They responded to it. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Friends, if we're going to benefit from the Word of God, if we want to get the maximum benefit from God's Word, from the Bible, then we must receive His Word, welcome it with open arms, even if it hurts my feelings a little bit. I must reflect upon it. Friends, we've got a mirror for a reason. We've got God's instruction manual. And friends, we must respond to it. When we receive it, when we reflect upon it, friends, and when we see those corrections that need to be made, make them. Do the Word. And not just a forgetful hearer. Again, James 1 and verse 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. He that continues in it. Notice what God says about that man. He's not going to consider him a forgetful hearer. But He's going to consider him a doer of the work. And notice the end of the verse. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And what he does. First, let me ask you a question. As we extend the invitation this evening. Let me ask you a question. As you look into the perfect law of liberty, Have you done all that it says to do to be a child of God? Have you obeyed His Word? You know, the Bible tells us that we must know about Jesus Christ, that we must believe in who He is, and we must have faith in Him. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That He indeed bled and died for your sins? Friends, are you here this evening needing to repent of sin as the Bible tells us to do? Luke 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, that once we believe in Him, once we come to the knowledge of our sin, then that we need to repent of that, that is having a change of mind that leads to a change of life, then we must confess Him before men so that He may confess us before His Father in heaven. For if we deny Him before men, He goes on to say there in verse 32 of Matthew 10, that He will deny us before the Father in heaven, or 33 rather. Paul goes on in Romans 10, 9 and 10 to say that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Friends, are you here needing to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Perhaps the only baptism of which we read in the Bible. Do you need to do those things this evening? Peter gave that instruction to those in Acts chapter 2, those first century Christians. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter? Why must I be baptized? For the remission of sins. Friends, there's no other way to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Would you be baptized this evening? Friends, are you here having done those things but fallen away? Would you come home? Would you look into His perfect law of liberty once more? Do you see that there are changes that need to be made, friends? God calls upon you to make those changes. Would you do that this evening? Would you give your life to Him once more? Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?